Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
I'm your host, Stacey Emery, joined by my phenomenal co-host and crew, the Natural Zen Diva, Dr. Ayal Kedar, and the motivational minister himself, Mr. Billy Miller. It is Monday, February 28th already. Like, we're already at the end of February. I can't believe it. But as always, we are so excited to have another conversation with you guys tonight. For those of you listening live or for those of you that may listen to the replay later, you are in for another amazing topic and discussion on Mindshift Talk Radio. And for those of you that may have missed last week's show, I cannot stress this enough. I encourage you to go back to mindshifttalkradio.com and listen to, not only listen to, but download the replay of last week's show, titled Successful Women in Business. We had some phenomenal, amazing, dynamic women in business on our show last week. We had the author and speaker, entrepreneur April Mason, author of the book Broken But Not Found, and we also had the social media marketing guru and speaker and trainer, business coach herself, Nicole Cooper. So, again, we encourage you to go back online, listen to that, download it, share it with your friends and family, anyone that's looking to take their business, their current occupation, whatever it may be, to the next level. There was a wealth of information shared on that show last week. It was so hot, we had to extend the show. Let me just tell you that much. It was that hot. And that is not the reason why I've lost my voice. But that was just an amazing show, I can tell you that much. So definitely go back and listen to that. And this is part two of that segment. You know, we're doing these two shows on success habits and tips and principles to help you to grow in your business. Again, with Mindshift Talk Radio, it's about having real conversations for real folks to really get you to expand your mind as well as your vision. We teach you how to grow in your personal area of life, but also your business, spiritual, mental, whatever it is in your life to get to that next level of success. These are the tools that will help you to have that and to attain that, basically. So, again, we are excited about this show. We cannot wait to get into this conversation. Tonight we have two dynamic men that are joining us to discuss successful men in business. So, like I said, this is part two of the success conversation. If you have any questions, if you want to get in on the conversation, if time permits, definitely feel free to call in. Our phone number is 347-989-0206. Again, it's 347-989-0206. And for some reason, if you're not able to call in, you are more than welcome to join us via the chat room as well on Mindshift Talk Radio. So, without any further ado, like I said, last week it was on fire and we had to extend the show, so we're going to get the ball rolling. But before I go ahead and introduce our first speaker to you, I want to pass it over and just open up the mic to my co-host, Billy Miller and Dr. Ayal Kedar. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Happy
Monday.
Hey,
always excited to speak to you lovely people on Mondays. Do you guys have any thoughts, comments, questions, concerns about last week's show as well as this week's show before we get started?
Oh, my goodness. Last week was pure fire, wasn't it, Billy?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Hot. It was hot. The sisters brought it. You know, we definitely had some successful women in business. I thought it was a great show, as always, Mindshift Mondays. So I'm really excited about this week's show with the males, with our brothers out here coming out and sharing their secrets to success with us. So I got my pan ready. I'm ready to go. I know it's going to be It's gonna be hot. I'm ready. Let's get it started.
Oh yeah, I got my pan ready too. You know, the women set it on fire. Now the men about to burn it up. You see what I'm saying? They just go do it. So they
we
just
don't
go
have
put
to
the
make every show a battle of the sexes, Billy. You don't have to make it every show.
It just comes out like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I always want the battle us. Hold up. We're all on the same team. No, just kidding. But
right. The yang.
But I'm ready.
Right.
Let's poop.
All right. Well, like you guys heard, Dr. Isle has her notepad. Billy Miller has his notepad. I have my notepad. So that's just to show you that we are so ready to get this information. Last week, I had pages of notes from the show. So if you do not have a pen and a piece of paper, I encourage you to go do so right now. I'm ready to go on this conference call, and one of the hosts on the conference call used to say, I don't care if you have to go grab one of your kids' crayons, but you better get something to write with right now. So I encourage you to do that. So anyway, we are going to get the show started, get the ball rolling with this conversation. Like I said, tonight's show is Successful Men in Business. We have two phenomenal speakers and guests that are joining us tonight. The first guest that we're bringing on is someone that we're honored to have both of our guests tonight. But this individual, you know, we've looked at quite a few YouTube videos, read his information on Facebook. I visited the website. There's just a wealth of information available about this individual online. And the first individual we're bringing on is Dr. David Chaney. Now, Dr. David Chaney is a business coach. He ministers. He's in ministry. He does videos. He does coaching not only in business but also in personal and relationships as well. And then he has a page on Facebook. If you want to get some information now, I would encourage you to go on there now because he has one on his success coaching site, on Platinum Success Coaching, that you can find on Facebook. But just hearing his story, I can guarantee that you guys are going to be so blessed and inspired as he shares his testimony with you and tells you how he's been able to obtain that title of being a successful man in business. So I want to go ahead and introduce to you Dr. David Chaney. Dr. Chaney, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. How's everybody doing tonight?
We are doing great, and we
good.
Are so happy to have you here with us tonight. We are fired up.
Well, I'm pretty fired up to be on tonight. I was a little under the weather all day, kept wanting to call my secretary in Dallas and say, honey, I may not be able to make that broadcast tonight, but you know what? I went on and got myself together. I have the luxury of working out every single morning, so I did my workout tonight since I was in the bed, and now that I've got the blood circulating and flowing, my mind's alert, I put that cold behind me, and I'm here tonight to talk seven-figure success.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Woo-hoo! All right, well, let's get it. Well, again, we hope you feel better, and thank you so much. I mean, after going through all that, thank you so much for making the sacrifice to be here with us tonight and to bless us with your knowledge and your wisdom.
Okay.
So, Dr. Chaney, if you can please first, you know, tell our listeners a little bit more about who you are and a little bit about your story.
Sure. Well, I'm Dr. David Chaney. I have a doctor's degree in theology. Studied on the campuses of Harvard, Yale, and Princeton. I'm a former investment banker with Fidelity Investments, Bank One, Citibank. But I'm currently the CEO of a Illinois-based corporation called New Media Ventures. In 07, we were featured in Black Enterprise magazine. I created a technology back in 05 that has been seen all over the Internet. It's actually created a multi-million-dollar industry. I don't know if you've been on Yahoo or some websites and you've seen people walk across the top of their website. Well, in 2005, I'm the one that created that technology, and we filed several patents to protect our interests and such. And because of my technology, through licensing it to other companies, our New Media Ventures Corporation have exceeded well over seven figures in business in the past few years, and with over 20,000 videos out there, we're pretty successful. And from my first $1 million that I made, My wife and I took $250,000, built a HD television production studio, 3,000-square-foot studio in Dallas, Texas, where we lived for 19 years. And that studio and corporation is there. And then about 6-7 months out before our 20th wedding anniversary, we decided to change our pace in life to enjoy the next 20 years somewhere else, keep the Chicago, Illinois company going. And if anybody wants to buy a company, if you've got over 7 figures, I'd be sure glad to sell it to you. left our television production studio there in Dallas. Our staff is running it, and we're here in South Florida just coming up with new ideas for ministry and business and really enjoying ourselves, because the truth of the matter is if there's a husband and wife that's in business, rather together or separately, let me tell you something, there is nothing more important than your marriage, and you want to make sure that you both are on one accord in running that business.
Love it. And you didn't mention this, but I know, I mean, there are just so many accolades. I know I was looking at some stuff with you online, and I noticed that you were also on TBN, Coaching Guerrilla Marketing, and you also mentioned Black Enterprise Magazine as well. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. In 2007, I received, a good friend of mine, Dr. Fran Harris, who's been seen as a contestant on Good Morning America's Advice Guru. She also had her own television show on HGTV. Her and I were introduced to a mutual acquaintance. In fact, a billionaire out of Scottsdale, Illinois, called me and said, "Hey, I've got a young lady I want you to meet. I think you guys may be able to do something." We met. She met me, saw my technology, and said, "Doc, I've got to get you online. I've got to get you into Black Enterprise." I said, "Yeah, that sounds good. that sounds good, but... you know, I didn't give any stock into it," but within 24 hours, I received a phone call from the editor at large, and then he said, "Man, we've got to write an article." Well, I'm expecting some little corner spot, you know, in the back of the magazine. No, this was a full-page article, sent the photographers out, and it's so amazing because many people don't know your success could be one person away. You could literally be one person away from success, and I think that's important. Because, you know, what I'll talk about tonight are the 7 things that I do every day to make sure that I can continue to reach 7 figures. And so, you know, people got to understand, when I say 7 figures, that means I've made over $1 million, and I've done it twice, you know. And so, you know, you've got to make a have a millionaire mindset, you've got to reach $1 million in sales, and then you've got to reach $1 million in retained earnings. And those are some of the things that people need to look for. And I just stand by this principle. No matter what you're selling, I want your listeners to hear this, no matter what you're selling, pills, potions, lotions, invisible, disappearing thigh jam, coffee beans, doesn't matter. If you can make a dollar, you can make $100,000. And if you can make $100,000, you can make $1 million. So you've got to set your goals, and you've got to really know your business.
Awesome. Well, I know you just said to us, and before I go to this next thing, I just have to say, I'm like a kid sometimes when I see certain articles and stories online, and when I realize that you developed that software for, you know, the people on the websites and so forth, I was so excited, and I've been looking for those little people on different websites, and I went to a Honda website today. I did. My friend just purchased a new Honda, and she told me about it. She emailed me last night. So I went to a Honda website, and I saw the little lady up there talking. I said, "All right, that's from Dr. Cheney right there." So I was so excited about that.
Well, you know what? It's good to be known as the inventor of something, but tonight I'm going to expose some things that your listeners really need to know, particularly about going in business, because the fact of the matter is I created this in 2005, but we also had to file protection orders against 170 companies in the United States that have imitated our technology, you see? So if anybody is out there listening and you think you have a great idea and you want to protect your idea with a patent, understand something. That does not stop people from looking at your idea, making it better, raising millions of dollars, and go and make all the money in the world until they receive a cease and desist order, and that only happens once your patent is issued. So just saying your patent protected, you know, patent pending, doesn't really do anything. It really is a time clock for people to go, cool, let me go out there, duplicate what they're doing, make as much money as I can until, you know, set time. So, you know, it's good to be the innovator of the technology. It's good to have people out there. And as I said earlier, we've licensed our technology to companies that we can't reveal, and they paid us hundreds of thousands of dollars to use our technology. And so, you know, not every business idea is selling one cookie, you know, making $1 million. You could make cookies. It's not selling 1 million cookies at $1 a piece. It could be licensing your recipe, you see, for hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm going to tell you something. If you want to know how to print money, create a product that you can license it to somebody else. You know, you mentioned Honda. People don't realize Honda engines are also in lawnmowers. You see? So, you know, it's not just in a car. It's also in lawnmowers. Those Honda makes engines for lawnmowers and other things like that, for airplanes and such. So you just have to know your product. And as I said, I'm going to give you 7 points that I live by, and I guarantee you these 7 principles will definitely, if you work real hard, they'll help you get to 7-figure success.
Well, already, Dr. Trainee, we're ready for the 7 principles, so you can go ahead.
Well, so you understand, I'm a pastor for over 14 years. I'm a man of God. So these principles can be used secular, but for those people of faith that are listening, I'm going to give you a scripture to add to it. I did a teaching called 7-Figure Success that we actually offer online, and I go into detail. But here are the 7 things real quick that I live by, that I use every single day, so that I can continue making money and providing the kind of lifestyle that my family needs to have. The first thing in doing business, I want everybody to write this down, is know your business. Know your business. I don't care if it's a God-given idea. The angel Michael comes down and gives you this God-given idea. You have to know your business. And for those faith-based believers, write down Proverbs 4:7. Proverbs 4:7 makes it clear. Wisdom is supreme. Do it all, no matter what it costs, and all you're getting, get understanding. Let me tell you something. One of the reasons why people fail in business is because they don't know their industry. You understand that? Know your industry. There are two paths to success, and I want everybody to understand this. And make this clear. Success is not associated with a dollar sign. It's not associated with a figure. Success just means You're one day better than you were the day before. You're one step higher than the step below. So people have to understand that. But there's two paths to success, direct and indirect. And for the life of me, people like to take the indirect path. That means they like to go all the way around Robin Hood's barn.
Mm-hmm.
Let me make this clear. You could be a trash collector, and all of a sudden you have you want to go start a business being an investment banker. Well, understand something. My question would be, because people come to me and I invest in businesses, and people come to me and I go, well, how long have you been collecting trash? Well, I've been doing it for 15 years. I said, and you want to go be an investment banker? Why? Because it sounds like it's good. I know people make money. I said, but you have no skill set. There's a difference between having a desire for something and a skill set for something. You understand that? And so I would say to the trash person, your skill set is in collecting trash. If you want me to invest in you, come back and put a plan together on how to collect trash and make money from that. You know, you've got to know your business. No matter what it is you want to get into, you have to do your research. You've got to take online classes, offline classes, go read up on it, connect with people. And please, people, please, the old saying is true, loose lips sink ships. Don't go telling people what you want to do when you want to know your business, because the more people you share your idea with, the more people who potentially can become legal opponents of your concept and your idea, all because you shared with them something, and when they gave you the smallest bit of information and you used it, they claim part of your success. So that's the first thing. Know your business. Did you guys get that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right. The next thing is know your strengths and your weaknesses. Okay? Know your strengths and weaknesses. For your faith-based entrepreneurs out there, write 2 Corinthians 13:5, and real simply it says, examine yourself. Let a man examine himself. Let me tell you something. Don't kid yourself. Don't think you make the best fried chicken. Don't think you make the best catfish. Don't think you make the best widgets. You have to know how good you are And you also have to know how weak you are. A lot of businesses fail because they don't take a close examination of what they have, who they have around them, and what they can do and what they can't do. You know, nobody likes to acknowledge what they can't do. When you're looking to raise money in businesses, there's several ways you can do it. You can always go to a bank, you can go to private equity, or you can go to angels. And those are normally mamas, grandmamas, friends, families, companies like that, people like that. But when you go to present your idea to get funding or to raise money, no matter how great it sounds, they're always going to ask you, but where are you struggling? You've got to acknowledge this. You've got to acknowledge this. And for people listening, let me just put this into, I know everybody talks about, you got to get a business plan. You got to get a business plan. But the truth of the matter is, what you really need is an executive summary. I think we've got some entrepreneurs on the phone that can understand an executive summary. And what that executive summary really means is, who are the executives that are operating with you and helping your business become a success? Because the truth of the matter is, you can have a God-given idea, but many reasons why businesses don't get funded is because they lack the experience on their executive summary to make that company profitable. I mean, again, you could be a trash man or trash person, and you've got the greatest idea on hedge funds, and you want to raise $1 million, but on your executive summary, it lists you as the president and CEO. You have no financial experience or background. Can tell you what, you're not going to get funded.
Mm-hmm.
If I was in church, I would say, let the people say amen.
Amen.
You know, I know what it is. I know what it is to raise money. We've raised over $300,000 for our business and our venture. And one of the things we struggled with my partner and I mean, I was a preacher, a doctorate degree in theology, and he was a dentist. I mean, he was a pharmacist. And so here we are starting a technology company. We didn't necessarily have the tech background or credentials to persuade a private equity firm to put money into us. We had a great idea. But one thing that we did have, one, we had my experience of video production and media, also had my experience in technology, but I also had my partner's experience because he's filed over 600 patents. So we were able to show our potential investors that we understand what it is about protecting intellectual property. We also know how to invest this money. Because one reason a lot of people mess up, when people come talking to me about raising money for business, you know what they always say. Yeah, man, I'm going to get this money so I can get me a Bentley. I'm going to get this big house on the lake. I'm going to go take me a trip. I'm going to get me a jet. Let me tell you something. Nobody is going to give you money to fund your lifestyle. They are giving you money to make money. You understand that?
Yes,
so
sir.
Please, if anybody's listening and they're trying to raise any money, don't even talk about what you want. Talk about what your business can produce. I was so fortunate to have a man whose family is worth $1 billion. He's 60-some years old. He flew into Dallas to meet me and my partner. I brought him to my house. Now, at that time, I had a beautiful home, a beautiful, beautiful custom home. We invited him to the home, but he was able to see that the home was acquired because of some of my other past successes. I already had 4 cars. I already had the nice home. He had a chance to meet my wife and kids. You know what? He became comfortable releasing money to us because he didn't feel his money was going to be wasted elsewhere. So please, if anybody's trying to raise anything, when you get around people that have, don't go showing them pictures. Don't do like the church folk tell you, have your wish list, bring them a billboard with a picture of the car you want. Don't do that. Show them profits, show them losses, and be realistic. The next thing is know your team. Now, if you're listening, faith-based people, write down 1 Thessalonians 5:12. It says clearly, know those who labor among you. Now, I've got a secret to tell, guys. The secret is I lost almost $700,000 from a business partner who stole my money.
Mm.
Cash. Now, if I factor in the fact that $700,000 was taken, then our company and my businesses that I've created has made almost $3.5 million. But this person I knew for almost 7-8 years. You watch this, guys. We were prayer partners. Y'all don't hear me.
Mm.
That's why I've got a rule. I don't do business with anybody that I pray with. Y'all not going to help me. Because I don't know if you P-R-A-Y-ing with me or P-R-E-Y on me. You understand me? Because I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. I don't care. I don't care if you guys spend Friday nights together praying. You got to be careful because understand something. Let's be real. The hospital, the church is a hospital, and everybody there goes there because they're sick and they're trying to get better. You got to be careful getting in business with somebody that doesn't know how to pay their taxes, but yet you're going to let them be the potential CEO of your company, the CFO of your company. When you know those that labor among you, that means you've got to know the people you pay, the people who are working for you, the people who are advising you. You've got to know everybody. You guys hearing me? Know everybody. Because you could have never told me that my friend, who I've ate at his home, we've shared trips together, we've done things together. I mean, we've traveled places. And he would run around and create an account and would give us access to the account where we were able to see our interest daily and our money, and we would receive, you know, monthly draws off of our money. And seeing it listed under the company name of which my other partner, because when it comes to our patent, it was only me and my other partner on our patent information. We did not, and I know this is deep, but we did not assign our patent to our corporation because the truth of the matter is, we didn't want the corporation to fail and then the patent to be split amongst people. We had enough sense to retain the patent ourselves. But our corporation was the name on this investment account, and they come to find out, sure, it was in name only, but he had power over that account. And when he became upset with us and didn't want to do right, he turned around and took that money. Y'all don't know what it's like to get ready to get a mortgage and pay your house out, Christmas time coming. And you know that several hundred thousand belongs to you, and you go to withdraw your money, and it's gone. Y'all hear me? You better know who you're getting in business with. And this goes back to what I said earlier about be careful about who you talk to. See, this one person was upset because he felt he needed to be on our patent. But in order for him to be on our patent, he had to have contributed information. All he did was introduce me and another person who collaborated on the idea. He gave nothing to it. And so because his name wasn't going to be on the patent, and at that time we were talking about the potential patent selling for tens of millions of dollars, he became upset. So he turned around, created this false account, and ran off with our money. You better know particularly who's handling your money. You better know who's advising you in business. People. Why are we still getting advice from people who've never been where we're trying to go?
Wow.
There's two people you need to listen to for advice. You guys ready? Two people. Only two people. One, somebody who's trying to go where you want to go, and somebody through mistake, trial, and error has lost everything at the place you're trying to go. You want to get real good, sound financial advice? Go find that ex-banker that's living under a bridge. Because he'll tell you what he did and what he didn't do and what you should have did. But we spend most of our time talking to people who've never been there and never done that. You guys hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Association begets assimilation. I started hanging around people that had the things that I wanted, started hanging around people that did the things I wanted to do. In fact, the people I started hanging around with, they were second generation, what I call never holding a W-2 or 1099. These were people whose granddaddies made the money, and they just grew up like the Rockefellers. See, the Bible says a good father leaves an inheritance for his children's children. My desire wasn't just to make money. My desire was so that my children and my grandchildren would be able to enjoy what Papa Doc set up for them.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be successful in business, you got to stop thinking about today. You got to start thinking about tomorrow. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
See, you can lose riches at a crap game. You can lose riches in Vegas, but you can't lose wealth. And wealth takes planning, and you got to make sure that people around you can handle you being wealthy. You know what I tell people when I hire people and when I interview people to work for me? You know what I tell them, Billy?
What you tell them, brother?
I sit with them, and this is what I tell them. And ladies, this is so critical. People say I'm mean, but I tell them, I said, you know what your job and function is? And they'll go to explain what their job specific positions are. I said, that's not it. I said, your main role of responsibility for working for me is to help me make $1 million. And that's it. You got to have people around you who don't mind you making money. Y'all know, see, we hiring haters. We working with haters. We partnering with haters. You cannot do that if you want to get to seven figures in success. You can't do it. Unfortunately, you got to be the head. You got to know what you're doing. Anybody got any questions so far? Because I'm talking and I'm not, everybody's quiet. I just want to make sure folk are getting this. I'm trying to make sure you got papers worth of information like you had last week full of great content. Anybody have any questions so far?
Man, we just like a sponge, brother. We just soaking it all in.
Okay.
You good, brother. I mean, you good. You letting it flow in.
Well, and let me make sure you guys know this. It was December 2009. I was sitting in our 5,000-square-foot custom home. We had more cars than garages, 10 rooms throughout the house. And it was December, and I actually went into my account. I wanted to see how much money we had made from the time we started. And I'm going to tell you guys something. It was nothing like running a report that told you that within the first 24 months, you had made over $1.2 million. There's nothing like it in the world, guys. See, because there was a time when I was homeless living on the streets of Baltimore over 23 years ago, sleeping on the park benches in Drew Hill Park, when I was out selling cologne, when all I had was ideas, and everybody laughed at me because I always had ideas. You understand that? You can start to think back and remember the failures, the ideas you had, and everybody put you down. There's nothing like being able to live in your mansion and realize they laughed at me. But look at where I am now.
Hmm.
And one of the greatest joys was to run to my wife, who agreed to be my wife when I didn't even have a car, didn't own a home. Still had the black plastic trash bag that I used when I moved from the streets into my first apartment, who was ready to go to Atlanta, go to Clark University, ready to go live her dream, but she looked at me and realized I had potential.
Hmm.
And it was nothing like going to her and saying, baby, I attribute this to you. I attribute this because it was you that believed in me when everybody else didn't. You got to make sure you got people around you that believe in you and people that are willing to sacrifice to make sure you are successful.
Mm.
When I launched New Media Ventures, the creators of OverWeb 3D, the partners I brought in, one partner said, okay, I'm going to make sure that you receive $65,000 a year as a salary because we want to make sure that your mind is focused on developing this technology, not on trying to make sure your family can eat. Come on. You got any people around you that's willing to make sure you make a good salary while you're developing this company? Remember, we didn't have any sales. This were people that were willing to invest in me. I had somebody else that said, you know what, I'm willing to spend the first $10,000 out of my own pocket to go ahead and get the legal documents running to get the company protected and the technology protected. Listen, if you're around people right now who can't help you win, listen, guys, you got to say goodbye and see them later.
Hmm.
Look, the Bible says, come out from among them. Why? Listen, everybody can't go with you to the next level in life.
Amen.
Everybody can't. When God spoke to my wife and I this time last year and told us it was time to leave Dallas, move to South Florida, that's just what we did. We left 20 years of family, friends, loved ones, business partners, people we ministered to, all kinds of people, and we left. People were crying. How could you leave us? I said, look here, this ain't about us. It's about my wife and I.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to go to somewhere that you guys are happy staying where you are. And when you're trying to get to seven figures, when you're trying to get to any figure, you got to make sure you got people that support you, that believe in you, that want to make sure you eat, make sure you live, make sure you function. People who are giving from you, not trying to take from you.
Mm.
Now, I've just got a couple more points. Next thing you have to do is know your potential clients. Know your potential clients. Now, I'm going to give you this scripture, and I know it's funny, but it works. It's Proverbs 11 and 30. Proverbs 11 and 30, it says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Now, I know you may be saying, how is winning souls even associated with knowing your potential clients? Well, it's real simple. Every dollar you make is like a soul that you won. And you've got to have wisdom when trying to get that money.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to sit. You've got to study. You've got to know who your client base is. Listen, as a preacher, I try to tell other young preachers, look, I've been pastoring for 14 years, been in ministry over 20 years, been a bishop for 8 years. I try to tell people all the time, not everybody has a national word.
Mm-hmm.
There are some preachers you will never get outside of your street, let alone your community, let alone your city, let alone your state, let alone your region of the country, or let alone globally. As a business owner, you have to know who are going to pay money for your product or your service. You've got to know that. And here's another thing, just as important of knowing who your potential client is, know your competition. Know your competition. I use 1 Peter 5 and 8. 1 Peter 5 and 8, we all know this one. It says, be self-controlled and alert because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking who he's going to devour. Let me tell you something. Your competition is looking at you, so you better be looking at them. Let me tell you why this is key. When we filed our initial paperwork for our patent, we searched and realized there was nobody else like this. And that was another thing that hindered us with raising money initially, because we had a technology that nobody else had seen, so sometimes it's hard to fund something that there's no track history of it succeeding. When you're first in industry, it's kind of hard to fund that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But nobody else was like it, and so we filed our paperwork. You couldn't imagine how my business partner almost lost his entire meal he had ate the night before when I received a text from somebody that said, hey, I found somebody that's doing something like you. Take a look at it, and they've already filed a patent a year earlier. Oh, my God. My partner went and lost his mind. We got on the horn with our legal department. We started looking and scouring. We started reading and researching and realizing, oh, my God, is this like ours? It looks like ours. Is it like ours? Listen, if you've created the best oatmeal raisin cookie, listen to me. There's other people that have oatmeal raisin cookies, too.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to know what makes yours better than theirs. And can I tell you something? You just can't go off of what you feel. You've got to do tests. You've got to bring people in to look at your product, taste your product, examine your product, and let them examine the competition's product. Look, if you're about to open a laundromat and there's another laundromat around the corner, go in there and see how their laundromat functions. See what makes them successful. Why have they been in business for 20 years? What makes their customers happy? You've got to know your competition. You cannot live in a world where you think you got it all and you're going to run it all. Nobody's like that.
Hmm.
You guys getting this?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good stuff. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Okay. Last time you stopped, I was busy talking and no one could hear me. I was like, wait a minute. Oh, my gosh, Dr. Chaney, you just said so much good stuff. Can you take me back to when you started talking about the leadership skills and the mindset of an entrepreneur? Because, you know, since I've started on my journey of entrepreneurship, I've realized that the mindset is, to me, like it's the number one thing. That, you know, if your mind is not focused on what it needs to be focused on, that you will never get to where you want to go. So can you just talk more about how and your posture? It's like, you know, you guys know I'm a little, it's after 10, so I'm a little slangish, but your swagger is like so deep. When you say you could, you know, when you tell people, you know, your position is for you to make me $1 million, that's real. That's a big business, you know, understanding a big business mentality versus a employee mindset or, you know, even a small business owner mindset. Can you just talk about how did you develop your leadership skills, and is that born or bred?
Okay. Well, I'll put it to you this way. Let me tell you, for me, I found out it was a blessing in business, but it became a curse in my marriage, and it was that I realized I had adult ADD. Okay, I had adult ADD, I had adult attention deficit disorder. Now, it was great for my business because I could have multiple ideas running at the same time. I could always outthink the people who worked for me. I could always outthink my competition, and my business partners couldn't keep up because I was always 2-3 years ahead when they're going, man, we haven't even opened the doors yet, and you're already thinking about who the potential buyers of the technology were. There's a mindset that entrepreneurs have to have, and unfortunately, your mindset is there is no middle class. I mean, I'm talking about you want to make seven figures, guys. I mean, listen, if you've seen any of my YouTube videos, you hear me say this. You know, if you want to get to seven figures, you need to have somebody that's made seven figures. You need to have a coach that's been there, done that. And I realize there is no middle class in the Bible, guys. You're either the head or the tail, above or beneath, first class. There's no middle class. And you're talking to somebody, listen to me. My wife and kids, we've lived in a hotel. You understand that? We lived in a hotel for a whole year. We rented cars for a whole year. We've gone through bankruptcies. We've gone through foreclosures. We've gone through idea after idea. And unfortunately, my family had to go along with the ride. They didn't really have too much to say about it. They just knew daddy's got an idea. And entrepreneurs, you've got to be driven, and you've got to make sure the people with you are willing to go along for the ride. If there's a husband and wife that's thinking about going into business, one has an idea and the other one is going, well, I'll support you, you better know what support entails, because you've got to be ruthless. Now, I'm not joking with you. You know, people look at Jay-Z, they look at Oprah. Let me tell you something. I don't care what religion Oprah's pushing. You talk about swagger. That's swagger. Look here. She walked out there last night on the Oscars. She said it straight. You understand me? She walked out there and said it straight. She's like, I'm the richest person up in this house. You understand that?
She was. She was. She didn't walk out there like, rise.
your movies are on my network. You understand that? See, there's something about it. But guess what, guys? I know about Oprah. I knew about Oprah when I was living on the streets in Baltimore and she was on the news there. Your mindset has to be, I got to get around people that want to win, because you've got to be tired of being around people that want to lose or happy with not having the best. That's really the mindset. I mean, you wouldn't be doing this radio broadcast and it'd be successful if you had people on here who were happy not having none. You know, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. There was a book written called The Millionaire Next Door. It's about, you know, one of the richest men in the world who lives in the same house. He's worth 40-some billion, drives the same old Cadillac. You know, you would never know he was one of the top three richest men in the world. But there are some people, and you know, now listen, I'm African-American, okay? Let me make this clear. You know how we are. You know, we like to wear our success. And the bottom line is, I wanted to have more. But I had to get around people that said, listen, Doc, don't wear it. Invest it so your kids can enjoy it. There's nothing wrong with having an inner city business as long as you know how to live how people who've invested money and they live out in the burbs. So the mindset, unfortunately, you've got to have a killer mindset. What's the next question?
I just want to tell you one thing that stuck with me, brother, when you was talking about know your team. And one of the things I wrote down was, when you're trying to make figures, surround yourself with the right figures.
Yeah. Surround yourself with people that can see dollars. They're not living on cents. Put around people that's willing to invest everything. Listen, get people that are going to work the same 100 hours that you work. What I tell people, one thing I say is, when I hire them, I say, listen, your job is to help me make $1 million. My job is to make sure you have a steady paycheck, and if I'm able to give bonuses, I will. But one thing you'll get from me is you'll see my work ethic. And if you have an idea for business, you'll learn so much by helping me make $1 million. It should become just like tying shoes to start your own business, because you ought to be able to see what I've done and how I do business.
Dr. Chaney, all I can say is everything you have shared tonight has just been amazing, nothing short but amazing. I mean, your story and the testimony, I do love the fact that you were so transparent as far as sharing your story with us about even things that you've had to, trials that you've had to overcome, even with your family members. you know, it's so easy for us to look and see the success at the end and say, okay, well, you know, we hear the stories all the time about, you know, women that were there with their husbands or vice versa through trials, but we don't really hear the details of their story. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, yeah, well, they've been together since high school or whatever it may be, but we never really understand some of the trials that they've had to overcome. And to hear that your wife was there, but also your children had to endure those things as well. I think it's really important that you share that message, and it's such a blessing for you to be that transparent, to share that, because I'm sure there's many people that can relate to that, not just men listening right now, but also women that may have that significant other or that spouse that's really excited and passionate about a vision or a dream that they have, and it doesn't look so good right now. It's so easy to get caught up in what it looks like instead of holding on to that vision. So I really hope that your story that you shared will encourage those individuals that are listening to say, you know what, I can keep holding on. It's going to get better.
If you can give me a minute, let me add to that, because one thing I didn't say, I mean, right now my wife and I are enjoying 20 years of marriage, but can I tell you something? This time last year, I mean, I woke up, seven-figure earner, living in a mansion. My wife had a choice of vehicles to drive, $20,000+ in Burberry, walking around with over 10 carats of diamonds on. You know what? She decided one day she didn't no longer want to be the pastor's wife. She didn't no longer want to be my wife. You know why? Because I listened to everybody except her. You know one thing I really had to learn? I had to realize my wife was there with me when I had that black trash bag. And for 19 years, she smiled. She laughed. She even invested. But I was putting other people in front of her. That's when I discovered I had adult ADD. And the truth of the matter is, 2 weeks ago, I received a letter in my office, Black Enterprise, that they wanted to have me in as one of the top 100 businesses. All I had to do was submit my my financials. This time last year, I wasn't even at my office for 40 days because I was trying to save my marriage. See, if you're going to be successful in business, there's got to be a balance. My balance was I wanted my wife and my kids above making money. Do you know making $1 million in business, having hundreds of thousands of dollars in your bank account don't mean nothing when you don't have your wife and your kids with you? Somebody's listening better hear that. Men better realize, and, you know, you mentioned Platinum Success Coaching. I also have something on Facebook called Platinum Love Coaching. It was created out of everything I went through last year because I had to learn that my greatest success wasn't business. My greatest success was my marriage. So people do need to know that, and that's why I do tell people if they're married and they're going in business, they better realize you may be married to a person. They're not trying to hurt you. They've got their best interest. And if you really want to listen to somebody, listen to the one you're married to because they only want to see you succeed. It doesn't matter if they don't have degrees. It doesn't matter if they even know your idea. One thing they know better than anybody, they know you. So people need to take that and realize their spouse knows them, and their kids do too.
Wow. This is amazing. Not only did we get advice just in business, but just to see how closely that ties to personal relationships and our family life as well. But again, I thank you so much for the information you shared. And if you could, please, I know we're coming up at the end of this segment, but if you could just share your contact information and tell our listeners how they can get more information and how they can connect with you as well.
Well, sure. You can go and search me on Facebook. You can type in the words Platinum Success Coaching. You can also email me at platinumsuccesscoaching@gmail.com. You can search Bishop David Chaney, C-H-A-N-E-Y, and I'm pretty much, I live right there. I mean, I teach people all the time, too. You know what? Facebook almost destroyed my marriage and my relationship, so now I use it to make money and use it for all new ventures. You know, Facebook is a great place to do business, people. You better learn what it's about. Turn those friends into buyers. Okay.
Right. Yeah, and we concur that Facebook is a great place because we all met each other on Facebook, and it has turned into just some really divine connections, as we call them. So Facebook has truly been a blessing to us. But again, Dr. Chaney, thank you so much for sharing your information. We will definitely be in touch with you and be following you on Facebook and online to see what new projects you're working on as well. But again, thank you for blessing our listeners tonight.
Oh, no, let me say thank you for giving me a chance to share. I'm pretty much retired at 40, sit around, don't pretty much do much, and I love the opportunity to share, you know, to my test trials and tribulations, because I didn't reach my billion yet, but somebody listening may become the next billionaire.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Dr. Changi, and congratulations on Black Enterprise. That's awesome. Because some people out there might not understand how major that is.
Oh, that's pretty major.
So congratulations on all your success. So thank you so much for having us on and sharing your knowledge.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen, so that was Dr. Changi, Dr. David Changi, seven-figure platinum success coach here on Mindshift Talk Radio, dropping those nuggets. See, we told you this show was going to be off the chain. And, you know, this is only the beginning, because as we said, we have another speaker that is getting ready to join us. And when you hear his energy and his vision and he shares his story with you, I'm telling you, you're just going to be like so wired up. You probably are not going to be able to go to bed tonight, or at least not anytime soon. So we are going to move further with the next speaker, and I'm going to go ahead and pass over to Billy. So, Billy, you can tell our listeners a little bit more about who we're going to hear from next.
Oh, yeah. We're going to hear from an awesome brother named Miles Miller. We've still been trying to figure out if we've been related, and all that vision that he talks, sooner or later we're going to find out that we related. But this is my play cousin, my play brother. This is Miles Miller, who he was born in Detroit, Michigan. He's the president and CEO of Lionheart Enterprises, and he's a dynamic teacher. I mean, he's a personal coach. He's a compelling and prolific writer. He's a motivational speaker. And one of the things that he believes that he can assist the world in creating a championship standard of living. And he has a unique ability to take a person, an average person, from the slums of mediocrity and failure to the skyscrapers of greatness and success. So, I mean, he's a mentor to many. One of the things that I like that he always proclaims is, don't ever give up, don't ever quit on your dreams. So I just want to introduce everybody to Miles Miller. You there, Brother Miles?
Yes, sir. I am completely honored to be here tonight. Tough act to follow, Dr. Changi, is no joke.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we are excited to have you here, Miles. I mean, you're right,
hey.
Dr. Changi was off the chain, but we are so fired up to hear what Miles Miller has to share on Mindshift tonight.
Wow, I'm honored to be here, because you guys got me at a really prime time. I just came out of my Manifest Destiny conference in Detroit, Michigan, and I'm on fire. I'm still in that same flow. So, I mean, I can't be held accountable for what might happen tonight.
I like the name already, Manifest Destiny Conference. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, tell us a little bit about who you is, Miles, and then get into it, brother.
Well, I'm Miles W. Miller. I'm, as Billy said, I'm from Detroit, Michigan. I'm what you would call a premier, top-tier, world-class motivator. I'm not just a speaker. I'm not just a coach. I'm a motivator across the board. I believe I can. I'm a great trainer. I'm a great mentor. And I just believe in helping people realize a championship standard of living for themselves. I believe that if you're in the room with me and you just have a little bit of faith, you just have a little bit of belief, I can help you get to where you want to go. And that's me in a nutshell. I'm here. It's my life's purpose to help people realize their destiny.
Yes, sir.
And me doing what I do, it's going to help somebody live the life of their dreams. Because I'm going to live a life of my dreams, and I'm going to be an example for you. So that's, like I said, that's me in a nutshell. That's what I do. And just telling you more about, like I said, the big success I had in Detroit with the Manifest Destiny Conference. I had some of the most dynamic and most compelling speakers on the face of the planet converged on Detroit last Thursday. And it was a wonderful experience. For everybody who was there, it was a wonderful experience. And those people who weren't there, we're actually going to have video pretty soon of the event. And it's going to be absolutely mind-blowing. I'm telling you, you have to, like Doc was saying, you got to surround yourself with people who are going where you want to go or been where you want to go. And I always find people like that, like, because my mind is geared towards that now. And I'm going to talk to you tonight. I'm going to talk to you tonight about relationships. And this is the very same thing I talked about at the conference. So you're going to get it a little bit more fine-tuned. It's going to be honed a little bit more sharper because now I have more time to sit down and think about it. I want to talk to you about five relationships that you have to cultivate for power. Mm. You have to have power if you're going to go forward in your career, in your life, like Doc was saying, in your marriage. Those things are very important, and you have to put things in order. So I'm gonna show you five things, and I'm gonna be real brief because I know where time is limited. But the time we got, we're gonna rock and roll. We're gonna light stuff on fire. So here, let's get going. Five relationships that you have to cultivate for power. Now, also, this is February. February being the second month of the year, two scripturally represent a number of agreement. So I tell people now that I'm coming in agreement with you for the life of your dreams. I always say this, the life of your dreams is wonderful and you deserve it. Hmm. If nobody else thinks that, then at least I think it. And I believe that I should have the life of my dreams. I believe you can have the life of your dreams. So relationships are important because they're going to help you. They're either taking you towards life of your dreams or taking you away. Whatever you come in agreement, how can two walk unless they be in agreement? So you have to come in agreement with the ideology that will lead you to the life of your dreams and not away from it. So the very first relationship that I say you have to cultivate, which without a shadow of a doubt I think you're going to agree with me, is a relationship with God. God is our source. So you cannot go forth anywhere without the source being connected to you. It's like this. You can have a beautiful skyscraper. I mean, you can have a beautiful skyscraper in the heart of the city. But if that skyscraper does not have a power source connected to it, it'll be a dark building that you'll be scared to walk in. I'm scared of people who don't have a power source connected to them. I don't deal with them. I'm not so much scared, but I don't deal with them.
Right.
Because anybody that's dark on the inside, if they're not willing to come to the light, then I can't. There's nothing we can talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm here in Detroit it's Detroit Edison, and in Georgia down here in Atlanta is Georgia Power. I'm Georgia Power tonight. I'm DTE. I'm coming to cut the lights back on. I'm coming to reconnect the source, reconnect people to their source. You have to connect with God. You have to connect with that which creates you. It's like this. If you have a Ford motor vehicle and you want to get, you need to get some work done on it, you could take it to a General Motors dealership. But how much more efficient would it be to take it to that which created it?
Mm-hmm.
You got to always be able to reconnect with your source. You got to always stay in rapport with source. You have to come in agreement with source because we're creating his likeness and image. We're creating his likeness and image for a reason because he understood what we have to do on this earth. He understood our purpose, which takes us to the next relationship you have to cultivate. You have to cultivate the relationship with your divine purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Miles Monroe says it like this, where purpose is unknown, abuse is inevitable. If you don't know what you've been intended to do, you can be misled. You can be. That's the reason why, you know, I'm going to be a little graphic here. That's the reason why a pimp could be allowed to flourish because he has a lot of people that's working with him that don't really know their purpose. And so because they don't know their purpose, he can mislead them and misguide them. That's the reason why we have to be so diligent with our children because a predator can come by, and if they don't know who they really been purposed to be, they don't really know what their intention is, a predator can come by and mislead them, misguide them. So we have to know our divine purpose, and that, again, comes from being connected to the source. That comes from being, you know, having the power attached to the building. So we're connected to source. You cultivate your relationship with God. You are in agreement with God. And being in agreement with God, it shows you, it reveals to you your divine purpose. Everybody that has been put on this earth solves a problem. Everything that you see in life is created to solve a problem. A doorknob solves a problem. A screwdriver solves a problem. A car solves a problem. Billy Miller solves a problem. Miles Miller solves problems. We were put here, our purpose was to make the universe more congruent for each other. It's just like pieces of the puzzle. Just like pieces of the puzzle. If my piece is not available when you're ready to put the whole puzzle together, the puzzle is incomplete. Every time you're not doing what you're supposed to do, you make it that the puzzle won't be complete when it's time to put it all together. I told the audience on Thursday, I gave them the analogy of a screwdriver. A screwdriver is a tool that is effectively and efficiently engineered
to fasten and unfasten screws. But it has, it can be utilized as a key. It can be utilized as a knife. It can be utilized as a letter opener. It can be utilized as a murder weapon. It can be utilized as many things. But it was purposed to fasten and unfasten screws. And every time, it can be, look, it can be used as a chisel. It can be used as a punch. But guess what? Every time you use it for something other than its purpose, you run the risk of damaging it where it won't even be available to be used for its purpose.
Mm-hmm.
How many people do you know right now doing, just like Doc was saying, they're doing all these things. They're running around. They're trying to do this. They're trying to do that. I'm going to do this to make money. I'm going to do that to make money instead of doing it, following that singular purpose. Everything has a singular purpose. We're not here to do multiple tasks. We're here to do our intended purpose. And everything else is because we're flexible and we're able to be utilized, but we have to always keep our intended purpose in mind. Like I said, you can use a screwdriver as a chisel, and you can hammer down on the back of that hammer or that screwdriver and damage the head, and you'll never be able to use a screwdriver again. How many people do you know right now are being utilized in areas that take them away from their intended purpose? Many of us. I'm coming out of it myself. I mean, this stuff, I'm talking to myself, too. I'm not just talking to everybody else. I'm talking to me. That's one of the good things about what you hear me talk about is that I'm my own guinea pig. I run this stuff on me first. I run it through my own life first. So I'm not giving you something that sounds good. I'm giving you something that I use. I'm giving you something that I had to apply to my own life.
Mm-hmm.
So after you've cultivated the relationship with God and you've cultivated your relationship with your divine purpose, and you, not only have you cultivated, but you come in agreement with each of these relationships, you have to thoroughly cultivate and come in agreement with the relationship with yourself. See, now that you're connected to Source and the power's on and Source has revealed to you who you really are, now it's time for you to express that. And you can't express it if those other two things aren't in place. Just like I was saying, if you don't know your purpose, you can be misused. And then, you know, our bodies are the temples of a living God for the dwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not where you belong, it's hard for the Holy Spirit to be in you and utilizing and have that power turned on. It's hard. So you have to be true to yourself. So another thing about being true to yourself is this. Once you know whose you are because you're connected to Source, and once you know what you've been intended to do, you got to be willing to do it. It's like this. I can't coach you to be great if you don't want to be great. I can't help you overcome lack and poverty if you don't want to overcome lack and poverty. I can't help you do anything you don't want to do. But if you're willing, we can take over the world.
Hmm.
We can turn the world upside down if you're willing. See, just like Caleb said it, you know, surely we can go up and once and possess it because we are well able
mm-hmm.
to overcome it. And that's what you have to be. So you have to, inside of yourself, you have to know who you are. I'm going to tell you this. I went to this conference. I went to do this conference Thursday in Detroit. And just to be honest with you, the airfare had gone up drastically. Okay, I looked a month out. I usually buy my tickets and stuff for conferences and things like that a month out. And a month ago, the ticket price was like $500 for a round trip to Detroit, which I normally don't pay that much. I normally pay like a third of that. So I was waiting. I know sometimes I got connects. I can, you know, wait closer to the date that I will fly out, and the prices will drop because they're trying to put people on the planes. This time it didn't happen. It actually doubled. That wasn't in the budget. I'm just launching this project, so that's not in the budget. It wasn't in the budget for me to pay that much for airfare. So I knew I had enough to get a car. I went and got a rental car and drove to Detroit. And let me tell you, the ride from Atlanta to Detroit is between 10 to 12 hours. I left around 11 o'clock at night, which meant I'd probably be in Detroit around 11 o'clock. I got to Detroit around 12:30 because traffic and, you know, bathroom breaks, things like that. And it gave me about 3 hours to get a nap and then get ready for the conference. Took a nap, got ready for the conference, did the conference. We had a powerful, powerful, explosive time at the conference. People will tell you about it. I've been getting testimonies back now about people experiencing a release for some things, and I'm gonna share this with your audience tonight too, some of the things that, some of the principles that we talked about there as well about release. And it was just a dynamite time. Took another 3-hour nap, got back on the road so I can get back to Atlanta because I had to be somewhere at 2 o'clock Friday afternoon. Got on the road, as I'm leaving Michigan, going into Ohio, I encounter a blizzard. So instead of being able to drive 70 plus miles an hour, I'm not going to tell you how fast I would have normally been driving. I was only able to drive 20 to 30 miles an hour. And Ohio is the biggest stretch of that trip between Detroit and Georgia and Atlanta. The biggest part of the trip, I can only drive 20 to 30 miles an hour. Now, I'm in this little compact rental car. And I'm seeing 18-wheelers sliding off the road because the roads were that bad. You're seeing big cars sliding off the road. You're seeing little cars sliding off the road. My car is like almost like it's glued to the road. It slid so little that it was almost negligible. And as I'm driving, I'm hearing in my spirit God telling me that I'm going to bring you through this. I'm with you in the midst of this storm. That's because I'm connected to the source. That's because I know that I had just fulfilled my purpose. So me, myself, knew that I had to go get it. When I came back to Atlanta, I got back here late. I got back here later than I expected, so I got back here around 4 o'clock in the afternoon because of the delay in Ohio. But one thing was for certain, that nobody could ever tell me that I was not willing to go get what was mine. My destiny was in Detroit, Michigan on Thursday night. I had to be there. I don't care what happened. No matter what storm came up, I knew I had to be there. That's internal fortitude that you have to have inside of yourself. That when you know that something is yours, you got to go get it. I don't care what it looks like. You got to go get it. I don't care what nobody tells you. You got to go get it. People are telling you, man, you probably should cancel this event because, you know, it's going to be a low turnout and, you know, the weather's going to be bad. And I was like, I sat there for a second. I said, no, we're going to Detroit. No, I'm going to do this. We didn't have the numbers that I expected. But in the same sense, we did it. And the people who were there were impacted, which meant that I fulfilled the destiny. I fulfilled the prophecy that had already had gone forth over my life for that event.
Right.
What I'm telling people is that inside of yourself, you got to know who you are and why you are. And once you know who you are and why you are, you'll overcome anyhow. I didn't want to drive 12 hours anywhere. I don't like driving past 4 hours.
Right.
Like if I got to go over 4 hours, I'm getting a plane ticket. So,
you know, Miles, you raise a good point about having to overcome all that stuff. And you talk about all the challenges that you faced even on this conference. And I noticed one thing that you wrote even in your bio when I was reading your bio when you were talking about having to overcome different trials and obstacles in order for you to have your own transformation. And this is pretty much an example of that. But can you even tell our listeners, now that you're even talking about this, how they can use trials and tribulations and so forth, how can they use situations like that, like even what you just dealt with, in order for them to have their own transformation, for them to experience some type of growth out of that situation?
All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. When you know, again, going back to source, when you know who you are and you know what you've been purposed to do, guess what? Everything that happens, happens for you. It doesn't happen against you, it happens for you. It can't happen to you unless it happens for you. That moment had to happen for me. That moment driving through that blizzard and not falling off the road had to happen for me. You know, the struggles I went through, because I actually had scheduled that conference in January. I actually had some physical ailments come up on me in January that made me have to postpone the conference once. And I said I wasn't going to postpone it again. It's those trials. Look, you're not going to be successful and not overcome adversity. That's part of the testimony. If it was easy, everybody would do it. If it was easy to do what we're doing right now, you know how many people have a show right now?
Right.
The airways would be flooded with people talking. You know, you got people that still try it regardless, and they have nothing to talk about. And you hear it. You hear it on Blog Talk Radio. I've heard some shows after dark that's like, wow. Wow, they really need the FCC to come and regulate this. but you have to understand that if it's easy, think about it. If you want to build your body up, you have to push some weights. Guess what? And do you realize that muscle builds off of tearing? In order to see a person that's really big muscularly, their muscular system is well defined. That is a result of series of muscle tears. that the muscles tear and then heal, tear, heal, tear, heal, and then the next wave builds off of those scar tissues. You're not going anywhere without adversity. If you're not seeing adversity of some stuff, now some stuff is just unnecessary, but you're going to have to go through something to get to where you want to go. It's not going to be an easy trial all the time, but you got to be willing to go get what's yours. And once you decide in your mind that it's yours, go get it. I don't care what you got to go through to get it. I'm tougher than the situation. Surely I can go up once and possess that which is mine because I'm well able to overcome it. I believe I'm a champion. I believe, you know what, theoretically, I felt like when I came back to Atlanta on Friday afternoon that I'm going to tell you, just to be completely honest, I felt like I had been in a prize fight. My face was puffy. I felt like I had been punched in the face repeatedly. My knees hurt because I was in this little car. And it, just by every part of my body was sore. But when I crossed into Georgia, I felt like a champion. I was like, you know what? I feel like I got a championship belt in my trunk. I felt like I had the title was in the trunk. I came home a champion because I overcame myself. I overcame the situation. I didn't let nothing stop me from getting that which I knew was mine.
Mm.
And that's the way you got to be. You, if you want it, you go get it. I don't care what, look, I don't care what your mother didn't do. I don't care what your father didn't do. I don't care if your parents didn't even love you. That ain't got nothing to do with you being who you've been called to be. Nothing. You thank them for the admission to the world. They let you get in the world. Thank them for that. Keep it moving. You don't have to be mad at your parents. You know, some people, their parents weren't there for them. Their parents didn't do this. Their parents didn't do that. Let them go. Some people, they've been hurt in relationships. Hey, I've been hurt in relationships. I've been hurt badly in relationships. And I'm still healing from some stuff. But I'm still thankful for the fact that, you know, every situation has a greater good in it. Now I know what I want. I know what not to accept now. Everything, you have to look at life that way. Everything happens. I did this teaching on my radio show, Creating a Championship Standard of Living. I did a teaching called the Absolute Value of Life. And if you know anything about mathematics, the absolute value of a function basically means that you're going to take the value of that function the distance away from zero on the positive side. So no matter what that function is, no matter if that function is negative, you're only going to take the positive result of it. Our lives are just like that. Everything that happens, everything that has happened, everything that is happening, everything that will happen, is considered part of the absolute value of our lives. It's all positive. It all works to get us where we got to go. It's all for us getting to our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Our purpose is not always going to be peachy keen. Most times you're going to have people talking about you. You're going to have people hating on you. You're going to have stuff happening that don't make no natural sense. But you still have to stay on that road. I stayed on that road because guess what? I couldn't come off the road because the exits weren't clear. And the cities that were around those exits were closed because they got caught off guard with snow. It was 2 and 3 in the morning. They got caught off guard. They weren't ready for it. They didn't think it was going to be that bad. So I couldn't even get up. I had to stay on the road. No matter how bad it got, I had to stay on the road. I couldn't, you know, I was nervous, but I had to stay on that road. And I knew that if I could stay on that road and trust God through that process, in that storm, he was going to bring me not out of it, but through it. See, he couldn't bring me out of it. He had to bring me through it because as I came through it, I had a testimony to tell other people that, yes, you can come through it also. I don't care what the storm is. If you get taken out of the storm, you get taken out of the adversity, guess what? You won't have a testimony, and you won't be able to give somebody a blueprint for how to do it for themselves. Mm-hmm. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the testimony, my testimonies. Somebody needs to hear that it's possible to overcome adversity.
And you
it's
know,
possible
Miles,
to be who you've been called to be.
Hey, you know, you said you saw big trucks, you know, sliding off the road. And what came to me was, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're going through the process of trying to achieve your dreams, you know, you can't let people that you see that are ahead of you or that are bigger than you and you see them fail.
Right.
You know, you can't let that deter you off your course.
Yes.
And you know, Dr. Miles Monroe said, whatever you're born to do, you are equipped to do.
Yes.
And one thing you kind of mentioned, and I want you to highlight it a little bit, because a lot of people, they have visions, they have dreams, but they feel that they don't have the resources. You know, I don't have enough money, or I don't have enough education, or you know, I got these kids, I don't have enough time. You know, and can you speak on that, on the resources and people waiting on perfection before they start?
Well, anybody who's waiting on perfection before they start, they might as well quit now. It's not going to happen. It only gets worse. If you don't start today, it only gets harder tomorrow. You got to start with what you have, right where you are right now with what you have, because first and foremost, you're not even guaranteed tomorrow. None of us is guaranteed tomorrow. So we got to do the best we can right where we are right now. We have to come with it right now. Whatever we got inside of the tank right now, we got to come with it. If you really believe in that vision and that goal, then you're going to do whatever is necessary to go get it. It's like this. A man who really loves his wife is going to do everything he can to make sure that she's happy. Listen to what Doc Chaney said just a second ago. He gave up everything. He changed the whole course of his life to make sure his wife was happy because she was there for him when he didn't have nothing. When you know that you're supposed to have this, you're going to do whatever is necessary and be willing to sacrifice anything to get it. There's a lot of people right now that are not willing to be successful because they're not willing to make that sacrifice. They're not willing to just step out. Look, I didn't know what was going to happen when I went to Detroit. I just knew I had to go to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I stepped out on faith. I knew that, you know, it didn't look like it was going to work because all these things were coming against me. But I had to keep in my mind the vision. You keep the vision. If that vision is allowed to be the most dominant image in your mind, there is nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, that will stop you or deter you from going to get it. Nothing. Nothing. No thing. Nobody. No
vision. Simple.
You got to keep that vision in the forefront of your mind. I do a visualization piece on my show because I want people to see themselves in possession of the life of their dreams. I tell them that the life of your, I say it again, the life of your dreams is wonderful and you deserve it. The life of your dreams is wonderful and you deserve it. The life of your dreams is wonderful and you deserve it. You have to affirm that because now every time I hear, you know, faith comes by hearing. Whatever comes out of your mouth, you're hearing it. What you're hearing is building your faith. Whatever you're speaking out of your mouth right now, if you're speaking out lack, guess what? Your faith is shrinking because you're feeding it lack, and you're going to believe lack. It's like this. The realm of possibility. I talk a lot about the realm of possibility and how to enter into the realm of possibility, and it's real simple. The realm of possibility has these huge doors, but it only requires a small key. That small key is belief. All things are possible to him that believes. And if with God, all things are possible. Man is made to be impossible. With God, all things are possible. So, I mean, in the realm of possibility, that's where God is. And the only thing you need to access it is belief. Now, once you get there, you're going to need faith to travel there. But to get into the realm, only thing you have to do is believe. That means, no, look, Abraham, against hope, Abraham believed in hope, against what the situation looked like, against what his barrenness and his wife's barrenness, he believed that he would be the father of many nations because God promised it to him. The promise has to be bigger to you than the trial. The promise has to be bigger to you than anything else you're going to face. Anything. I don't care what it looks like. If you've been promised this, it's yours. If God promised it to you, the promises of God are yay and amen. That means that it's confirmed and it's already established. Yes is a statement of confirmation. Amen is a statement of establishment, and it is so. That means it's established. That means it's already yours. You don't even have to fight for it. All thing you have to do is choose it. Choose it and walk towards it.
And everything you've been saying tonight, I'm just sitting here like, wow, because I'm taking notes of everything you're saying. And it's just like three significant pieces that are standing out to me in your message. And a lot of it ties to what Dr. Chaney was talking about. But the three significant pieces I'm hearing about that you're continuing to drive home with this message is the faith, the vision, and the relationship. And I love how you even started your message off talking about the importance of relationships because he ended there. And you picked that up perfectly, just talking about how important it is for us to be able to cultivate these relationships in our lives. But at the end of the day, even when you're talking about the struggles that you've had to overcome and the issues you ran into even with this conference, it goes back to that faith, that belief system that we have, and about holding on to that vision and those goals that we set for ourselves. And unfortunately, we're coming up at the end of the hour, so I'm like, okay, we're running out of time, and I'm just taking notes of everything you said. But since we're coming up on the end of the show, you know, before we run out of time, I would like for you just to be able to tell our listeners, you know, if there was one thing that you wanted to leave with them at the end of this show, if they didn't hear anything else, what would be that one significant message or that piece that they would need in order for them to implement immediately in order for them to be able to achieve that level of success that they so desire? What would be that one tidbit of information that you would leave them with?
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Connect to source. Get back connected to your source. Get whatever you got to do, fast, pray, you know, set up a meeting with your pastor, whatever the case is, may be. But your relationship with God dictates and predicates everything else. It puts everything in order. There's a couple more things I had on the list that I won't be able to get to tonight. But when you put these relationships in order, power flows. You see, if you notice, I didn't put anything above yourself, only other than God. You put God first, then your purpose. Because if you put those two things in order, then you know what you've been, how to handle you better. You know how to drive you. It's like having the owner's manual in the car. Can I have 5 minutes? I need about 2 to 3 minutes. Like, give me 2 to 3 minutes. There's something I really want to do for your listening audience, because it's something I did at the conference, and I've been getting testimonies about this. And I wanted to do this for your audience, because I know somebody out there right now is struggling, and I'm coming to decree and declare that the struggle is over. I'm coming to release to them, release people into their dreams. I'm coming tonight to decree and declare the nightmare has ended. And if you can just believe, the nightmare ends tonight. And I want everybody to do this. This is something I did at the conference. I want to do it with your audience. I want everybody out there right now to get a piece of paper and write down one thing, or write down, maybe it has not to be one thing, write down the things in your life that you're done with. You don't want to see happen no more. It's been part of a nightmare. It's been a hellish experience. You want to get rid of it. Write it down on a piece of paper. And I want you to, after you write it down, I want you to fold that piece of paper up, and I want you to confess the nightmare ends now. The nightmare ends now. I come in agreement with everybody who does that right now, whether no matter if you're hearing the show live or you're hearing the show on the podcast. I come in agreement with you right now. This is the last day of the month of agreement. This is the last day of agreement. Tomorrow is the third month. Tomorrow is the third month representing the resurrection. Resurrection power is being released. I come in agreement with you right now for the best days of your life. I come in agreement with you right now for the life of your dreams, which is wonderful and you deserve. I come in agreement with you right now for your dreams manifesting, for your life lining up, for everything in your life flowing, for there to be an orderly flow in your life versus utter chaos. Chaos ends tonight. Nightmares end tonight. I decree and declare that, and in the name of Jesus Christ, I confess blessings over everybody who hears and receives what it is I have to say, because I know that something's going to change, and I believe that you're going to get people are going to call you or contact you some kind of way and let you know that they experienced breakthrough tonight, because breakthrough is here for you.
Ooh. Amen. Thank you so much, Miles Miller, for joining us tonight. Again, it has just been an honor and a privilege to have you on our show with us. Definitely an incredible message, and we are so excited for you in terms of what you're doing, even with this conference and all the different projects that you are working on. And, you know, the last thing I want to ask you is, I know you're talking about the conference, but what more should we look to expect from Miles Miller? What's coming up from you?
Well, we're going to do more conferences. We're going to do I'm going to take the Manifest Destiny conference on the road for sure. We're going to come back to Atlanta. We're actually scheduled to go to L.A. this year. And I'm putting Houston, Texas on the map as well. So we're going to do some dynamite things with the Manifest Destiny movement. It's a movement now, because I believe that people need to feel and experience what happened in Detroit, because that was a dynamite moment. Just like I said, I was only able to share a small tidbit of it with you tonight. Mm-hmm. But when, you know, we're able to be together and do this in person, dynamite stuff happens. So more the conference, you're gonna see more and more of me in the media as far as doing more interviews. I'm gonna get out and touch the people. I wanna get out, definitely do my radio show, Creating a Championship Standard Living, which comes on every Saturday at 6 PM Eastern Standard Time. You all are gonna be guests pretty soon. So we're looking forward to that as well. We're looking forward to welcoming you onto the show. And you know, it's just, look, the sky is not the limit, because there's footprints on the moon. So get ready to go as high as you want to go.
Amen. Well, thank you again. And we are definitely excited about being guests on your show. We cannot wait waiting for that invitation. So thank you so much again, Miles, for everything you shared. Good luck with the conferences. We know it is just going to be a phenomenal tour, and we wish you the best in everything that you're doing.
Thank you.
And we will definitely be in touch, obviously.
And I'm speaking increase in your for your listening audience. More people need to hear what's going on here. This is dynamite stuff, and they need to be connected to it. I'm in agreement with you for that.
Thank you so much. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so that was Miles Miller. So, again, Dr. Io, Billy, you know, what are your final thoughts on tonight's show?
All I got to say is you can. That's my final words. Because
that's
what both of them pretty much
said. That's right.
That's the truth.
You can.
I mean, like I said, you listen to both of them. It was really those. I'm writing the notes, and I'm looking back over my notes, and it was so faith-filled. These are faith-filled notes. But, again, it goes back to the same thing, that faith, you know, really having that belief system in place, believing that you're capable of doing it. But also, even going back to the beginning of that faith piece, is just knowing that you're capable of achieving your goals and knowing that you're worthy of achieving those goals, knowing that you're in the right place, you know, at the right time, and understanding that everything that happens in your life is all working according to that plan and that purpose, right? And then holding on to that vision. And it's so important for us to be visionaries in our own right, to be able to hold on to those visions. That way, despite what comes at us, as Miles just shared, you know, you have all the trials, you have so many different things coming at you, and sometimes life in itself can just be so hectic and overwhelming that we lose sight of what it is that we truly aspire, and we lose sight of that actual purpose that we were designed for. And so it's important for us to be able to have that vision. And it just reminds me of what our speakers were speaking about last week when Nicole Cooper was on the line talking about the vision boards and making sure, and I know April Mason even spoke to this piece about going into a closet for her and just finding that place where you have that quiet time just to connect or to reconnect, you know, to plug back into that source, as Miles just called it, for you to be able to determine what that purpose is, you know, what that destiny is, and to make sure that you're aligning your plans and your actions with that purpose, you know, making sure those things end up. So I thought that was a really strong piece that both speakers shared tonight, was having the faith, having the vision. And again, I mean, they both drove it home, relationship, 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 and how important relationship is. You know, we heard from two successful men in business tonight, and both of them talked about that relationship piece in terms of having that balance, not only spiritually, but also with family members and friends. It's so easy for us to be successful in business and then fall apart on the other side, in the personal side. And I know I was looking in the chat room just a minute ago, and I know that Chris Gloss is always in the chat room, always dropping nuggets. You know, we so appreciate him. But one thing he said in the chat room, he said, you know, I would hate to be a public success and a private failure. And I thought that was so profound. I had to put an amen on that one. But I thought that was such a strong piece. So, again, you know, at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you listening to this, it's about having your faith. It's about that belief system. It's about holding on to that vision and making sure that you're living that balanced, purpose-driven life where you're having that balance between your business success as well as your personal success. So that is pretty much it for tonight's show. Again, this is a successful man in business. Dr. David Chaney, as well as Miles Miller, both visionaries, entrepreneurs, and successful businessmen. Make sure that you're connecting with them on Facebook. Also, we encourage you to be here again with us next week. It is March, a brand new month. So we're excited about the new topics that we'll be discussing next month. And again, we encourage you to share these show topics and this information with your family members. Encourage them to go back to mindshifttalkradio.com to listen to these replays. I mean, they're just all so empowering and inspiring and definitely worth you listening to two or three times, especially if you were unable to take notes tonight. But as always, wish you guys a blessed and a phenomenally productive week. Make sure you're connecting with us on Facebook. We have a Mindshift Talk Radio fan page on Facebook, and we look forward to speaking with you guys next week. I'm staying blessed. So be blessed. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mind Shift Radio.